morning. Thanks for coming and always encouraging our youth. This is my home church. This is, you know, my spiritual family. And you guys have always been supportive of our youth group. And it's great for us to be able to come before you today and just show you that your support does mean something. Your support has been guiding us to closer to God. And it's just really special to us as well. I speak for all of the youth when I say that, and especially myself. So today, before I start, I just want to pray, because as we know, all good things that happen from God begin with prayer. So if you just bow your head and close your eyes with me today. Dear God, we come to you together in fellowship, God, where two or more are gathered, you're here. And God, we can definitely feel your presence here today, God. I pray that you would come and send your spirit down to empower us, to open hearts, to soften lives, God. I pray that you would bless the speaker, that all of these words would be yours, and that you would work supernaturally through us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to talk to you about a story that I personally really like, and it's the story of Jonah. And I want to talk about the calling of God. As some of you may know, I've been called to go to Zion to pursue being a youth pastor. So it's something that I've been dealing with personally, and I feel really led to share with you not only my experience, but biblical support, just some encouragement today. So we're going to start with Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me." Now, from other verses in the Bible, we can deduce that Jonah was a prophet beforehand, in the reign of Jeroboam, I believe, and he had a ministry, but then God moved him, and that's the first thing that I want to tell you. I'm jumping right into it. The first thing I want to tell you about a calling is that you can be somewhere now, but God has no reserves. He will move you. He might not move you, but he could, so you got to be ready and open for that. And I actually had a friend, and her father was a children's pastor. He started out as a hippie, and then he became a children's pastor. Great life transformation. And so he was working in the church, him and his wife, and they were just going through, you know, they had their job at the church, they had a separate job as well, and all of a sudden their senior pastor quit. And like that, he had to go from a children's pastor to a senior pastor in 1 week. And so God has no reserves. He will move you, but he will give you the strength to move you. And your gift may be completely different than what you think you're going to be called into. But God made you, and he made the gifts that are inside of you. He gave you what you need to do. So I also want to get into, that was the first part, but I want to get into talking about what your calling, like what a calling is. Because a calling isn't just being a pastor. It isn't just being the pastor of a megachurch. It isn't just working with kids. It doesn't even have to be involved in any kind of speaking, because God uses everything. And personally, I love in Exodus, there is a man named Bezalel who is gifted by God with the spirit of crafting things. And that's something that we see a lot of time in the Old Testament, is that God gives people these gifts to do things. And there's something that's completely different than what you would normally think of. When you think of the Old Testament, you think of Moses and Abraham, people that led countries, they led Israel. But really, there's tons of stories of people that had different gifts, that God empowered them in a different way. And that's something that he definitely can use today, because if everybody was still in a church, there would be no outreach. There would be, you have your people that don't go to church. Where are they going to hear about God? Well, they're going to hear about it from the people that are here. Also from PK Retreat. Something that a lot, PK being pastor's kids, something that a lot of us struggled with was feeling like we were called to do something differently, but not feeling like we could serve God unless we followed in the eyes of our parents. And that was something that was really hard for a lot of people. But in the end, after we had prayed over it the entire weekend, it was determined. A lot of people got called to different places. I know somebody that got called to the fashion industry, somebody that was called to be a doctor. There are so many places that God will move you, and that was something that some people really struggle with. But in the end, the church is the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one. So also is Christ. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." There are so many people that make up the body of Christ. There are so many different people. And every single person is important, Every single person is valued, and every gift is definitely needed. Now more than ever do we need people in the church that do more than what they expect they should do. They do more than just lead Sunday school. We need people everywhere, and it's just so important to realize that God made that in you and that it's okay to use that. It's okay to apply that to church. And I just wanted to really encourage you that way. And the next point that I have is that there's a lot of things, like Anna Grace's song. I thought that was so beautiful. The devil's not dead yet. He's not conquered yet. That's coming, but it's not here yet. So there's going to be things that stand in your way. There are going to be things that stop you. You're going to be disappointed because you won't have maybe earthly support, or there will be something that's really trying to stop you. Personally, when I got called to Zion this past year, I had known for 2 years that I was going to go. And then a couple months right before I went, something came up, and it didn't look like I was going to be able to go. And this is Zion. Zion accepts everybody, basically. And I didn't think that I was going to be able to go. And that was something that I really struggled with. And I had people tell me, well, maybe you should be doing this instead, or maybe you have to go back to Zion. Even though I felt really personally led that before I went out, I was to go to Zion. But there was people that I valued their opinion that were telling me, well, maybe you need to go somewhere else first, or maybe you need to do this first or do that first. And then suddenly it was cleared up. We talked to them on the phone, and they didn't seem willing to move. They didn't seem willing to budge. But then when we went up and talked to them personally, they were extremely open, and they were willing to accept me. And God just works miraculously like that. When you don't trust in yourself, when you put your trust in Him, He will deliver you miraculously. And it's beautiful, honestly. Also, in Luke 12:51, God really explains. He says, "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Even the people that are seemingly closest to you, the people that you rely on for support, it's not guaranteed. The only guarantee that you have is God. And you need to trust in Him. And that's something that a lot of people struggle with. They've been told to, you know, respect their parents and to follow their parents. But in the end, it's God. It's your relationship with God that really matters. And I want to go back to Jonah now, because we can't be done with Jonah. We can't just start with that. So going to Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. This is after Jonah had gone, and he preached to the people of Nineveh. And in chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that He said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it." Now, I mean, these people were mourning. They teared their clothes. They threw ashes. They were mourning like the Jews, and it was wonderful. They turned back from God. God had saved them. But it wasn't because of Jonah, because Jonah was upset about it. He was angry. Just like a little bit before that, he was praying to God to save his life, save him. He would go to Nineveh. And then after Nineveh was saved, he was praying for God to kill him. It was not out of Jonah, because Jonah's heart was not in it. If your heart isn't in it, it's not because of you. It's not because of you, even if your heart is in it. It's because of God. God's Spirit is in you. God's Spirit is the one that's moving through you. So if you don't get the results that you expect, it doesn't matter. It's not your fault. You do what God has called you to do, and you let Him take care of the rest. Don't ever mourn because something didn't go the way you expected it to, because you don't feel like you really owned up to God, that you really did Him justice, because nobody can do Him justice. We're not perfect. Nobody is perfect. And God knows that. And He works through your weaknesses. Romans 8:28, verse 30, it says, "And we know all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified." There's something beautiful in abandoning your will to take up what God has. Never in a million years did I think that I would become a minister. Never. I had planned against that my entire life because I grew up in it. I saw the ugly side, and I didn't want to see the pretty side, because if I saw the pretty side, then I might want to do it. So I just looked at the ugly side, and that's not a place to be. And I'm here now talking to you, which I never thought I would do, going to school to do the exact same thing that I hated, that I never wanted to do. But God is beautiful, and I'm so excited, and I don't know what comes after school. I don't. And I don't know where I'm going to be. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm excited because I know that God has a plan for me and that he'll protect me through it and he'll guide me through it. And I want to encourage you that if you feel something that God has laid on your heart, if you're open to something that God has laid on your heart, or if you're open to receive something from him, that he will be faithful to deliver. And he will be faithful to carry you through it. And he will be faithful to continually give you strength. And this isn't just for the youth that are moving on. This isn't just for the people that may be changing jobs. This is for every single person. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your health. It doesn't matter your anything, your appearance, anything. It's God. And God is God, and he's all-powerful. And if you have the faith is the grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. So why can't you just follow what he already gave you? You can. So now that I have talked about just encouraging you to fulfill a calling, I just kind of want to take a second to talk about how you can receive your calling, because it's something that I struggled with. And first of all, just pray. Pray without ceasing. Always, always, always pray. It's something that is just so important that a lot of Christians overlook because it takes time. But honestly, it is time well spent. It is time well invested. Romans 8:26, going back to Romans, says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You may not even know what to pray, but like it says, it's okay. The Spirit is there to help you, and the Spirit is there to guide you. That's what he is. He's a comforter. He's a guider. He's a teacher. He's there for that. He's there to help you realize God's will. And he's there because God wants the best for you. So God gave you the Spirit so that you can hear what he's saying. He may not speak directly to you, but that's okay. Just pray. Pray for peace about whatever you feel. Pray for guidance. Pray for doors to be opened. Pray for signs. Gideon did it. It's fine. If you're doubting yourself, if you're doubting what you think God has told you, just ask him. He's fine. He wants you to ask him questions. That's what he's there for. He's God. He's not afraid of your questions. He's afraid of you not being there with him. And that's what doubt leads to, which is a very scary thing. Next thing is to be ready to surrender. Surrender the good things, but also surrender the bad things. The things that you don't want to tell anybody, the things that you don't even want to tell yourself. Surrender those to God, because that's when he really works through you. The Markies can tell you, they were there when I got filled with the Spirit, and I prayed for hours on end to be filled with the Spirit, and it didn't happen. Because first, I had to lay down things that I needed to tell God about. I needed to be accountable to God. And then the next day, after I had done that, I got filled with the Spirit, and I got my calling just a couple months after that. It is so important to surrender what you have to God, because he'll give it back to you. He'll give everything back to you. He'll give you more than you need, because he's always there for you. And in Jonah 2:2, this is before Jonah got angry at what God had done. He said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." In Psalms 40:1-3, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord." God will give you the strength. He'll give you the guidance. Whatever you need to fulfill what he's called you to do, he'll give it to you. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be willing. And then the last thing is to imitate Christ, as Paul says. And I think the best one is in John 10:17. It says, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I take it again." Imitate Paul as he imitates Christ, who laid down his life so that he could take it up again. And the last thing that I want to say is from a passage that we've studied in depth these past few weeks. From Revelation 3:15-17. "I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have everything I need,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." This is something that has touched me so deeply. I got this message months ago from God, and I've just been so touched, and my heart goes out because I feel that Christians lately have become stagnant, and that's such a scary place to be. If you're stagnant, you can't reach people, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. No matter what your calling is, you're supposed to be spreading God's word, and it's such a scary place to be stagnant. I fear for this church, I fear for this town, I fear for our state, our country, I fear for the world that we're becoming stagnant and that we're not who God intended us to be because we aren't accepting what he's giving us. And that's such a scary place to be, to just sit there. And it's terrifying. It's better to be cold than to be lukewarm. It says it right there. So I just pray. I pray every day that God would become, he would send a revival, he would send his spirit to light us up again, to make us new, to remind us what it was when we were first saved, how excited we were, how ready we were to go tell everybody, to get our giant Bibles, to get our 12 Bibles at home, to take all of the notes, to read all of the books, to listen to Christian radio all of the time. I pray that we're reminded of what it was like so that we can continue to be on fire, so we can continue to receive what God has given us, to continue to receive the calling that he has for us, that we would be willing to move, willing to do what he says, and that we would be obedient. B.J. Kalman says that delayed obedience is disobedience. If you don't do what God is calling you to do right now, the opportunity may be gone and you run risk of being stagnant. So today I challenge you to continue to pray for the Spirit to ignite you. I pray that you just dive into your Bibles, that you just look for God. Because when you look, he'll come. But you can't just do it half-heartedly. You can't just kind of go look for him. You can't look down the main road and not look down the side roads. You have to go. You have to search. And when you search, that's when you'll find it. When you really go looking, that's when you'll find where God is and who God is. And all the questions that you have, all the confusion that you have, when you find God and who he is, will be solved. So I'd like to ask our musicians to come and to play Set a Fire again, because I really feel that's appropriate right now. And I just want to take a second, or a few minutes actually, and just have everybody pray right now, while we're together, while God is here, pray for the Spirit to come down. And I pray that you just let it control you, and that you let it move you, and that you let it speak to you. Because I really strongly believe that God wants to talk to somebody, at least one person here, if not everybody. God wants to talk to you and tell you something that could be potentially life-changing. And all you have to do is just open your heart and listen to what he has to say. Just open your heart and pray for the Spirit to come down and to minister to you deeply, to fix your hurt, to fix your sorrow, to clear your doubts, and fill you with himself. So I just want to take this time and just have everybody just, however you feel, whether it be singing, whether it just be praying on your own, to just pray for the Spirit to speak to you and to move here today.